8. There was not long now. The sleeper service sent signals to a variety of craft, including the serious callers only and the shoot them later. Almost immediately, the signals it had been waiting for came back from the what is the answer and why, and the use psychology, relayed through the grey area and the jaundiced outlook. The accession's expansion was localized, centered on the sleeper service itself, but on a hugely broad front that encompassed all its distributed warcraft. Ah, well, it thought. It felt a dizzying sense of relief that at least it had not triggered some ultimate apocalypse. That it would die, as would implicitly all its warship children, the three humans aboard, and possibly the grey area, the jaundiced outlook, was bad enough, but it could take some comfort that its actions had led to nothing worse. The GSV never really knew why it did what it did next. Perhaps it was a kind of desperation at work, born of its appreciation of its impending destruction. Perhaps it was meant as an act of defiance. Perhaps it was even something closer to an act of art. Whatever. It took the running update of its mind states, the current version of the final signal it would ever send, the communication that would contain its soul, and transmitted it directly ahead, signaling it into the maelstrom. Then the sleeper service glanced back to the sensorium of its avatar aboard the jaundiced outlook. At the same moment, the accession's expanding boundaries started to change. The ship split its attention between the macrocosmic and the human scale. "How long have we got now?" Gunnar Hofhoen asked. "Half a minute," Amalthea replied. The man's hands were on the table. He rolled his arms, letting his hands fall open. He gazed at Ejael. "I'm sorry," he said. She looked down, nodding. He looked at Alva, smiling sadly. The sleeper watched, fascinated. The wall of energy tumbling towards it sloped slowly back within both hyperspatial domains, forming two immense four-dimensional cones. As the energy grid's withering blast hesitated in its progress across the skein of real space, even as its slowing wavefronts still thrust out across the grid's surfaces. The slope's angles increased as the boundary's skein presence began to break up, detaching from the grids themselves and beginning to dissipate. Finally, the separate waves on the grids began to dwindle, collapsing back from their tsunamic dimensions, to become just oceanically enormous swells, deflating above and below the skein, until they were mere twin waves advancing across both the energy grids towards the doubled furrows which the sleeper's own motors were still churning in the grids. Then those twinned waves did the impossible. They went into reverse, retreating back towards accession's start point at exactly the same rate as the sleeper was breaking. The GSV kept on slowing down, still finding it hard to believe it was going to live. "It reacts," it thought. It signaled abroad with the details of what had just happened, just in case it all got suddenly threatening again. It let Amalthea know what had happened, too. It watched the ridges on the surface of the grids as they retreated before it and slowly shrank. The rate of attenuation implied a zero state, at exactly the point the sleeper service would come to an accession relative halt. "Did I do that? Did my own mind states persuade it of my meriting life?" It is a mirror, perhaps, it thought. It does what you do. It absorbed those ultimate absorbers, those promiscuous experiences, the Elench. It leaves alone and watches back those who come merely to watch in the first place. I came at it like some rabid missile, and it prepared to obliterate me. I backed off, and it withdrew its balancing threat. Only a theory, of course, but if it is correct, this does not bode well for the affront. Come to think of it, it doesn't bode all that well for the whole affair. Bad timing, maybe.